Heads up, TOP listeners. Today's episode deals with brief mentions of self-harm and other difficult topics. Viewer discretion is advised.
Hello, and welcome to The Loop Podcast, a corporate communications production. My name is Julia Akhtar-Kavari. I'm the Heart Failure Operations Director at UK Healthcare, and I'm very happy and honored to be here with Aaron Harris today. Aaron, introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Aaron Harris. I'm a psychiatric nurse practitioner with our cardiology service.
Thanks, Aaron. We're going to talk a little bit about your role as a cardiology psych nurse practitioner and how you came to be where you are today and what this has all meant to you. You and I go back a little ways, over a decade. I remember when you started as a CVICU nurse at the bedside, which is also where I was. I wasn't too far ahead of you at the time. But when we first met, like I said, you are a new graduate nurse in CVICU. Are there any moments during that time as a new nurse in an intense ICU that stood out to you?
Oh, man, so many moments. So I remember distinctly just feeling overwhelmed the first day I walked in there with the level of expertise of the people that worked there, with the acuity of the patients, with the amount of devices and medications that needed to be known. I remember in orientation receiving a 6-inch binder with procedures, providers, and again, the medications down to the receptor level that needed to be known how to titrate. All the devices at that point, there were about 14 different devices that we had to know and be experts in because we had to manage them. I felt a pretty high degree of fear most every day walking in. And part of that was driven by, I wanted to impress everyone that I worked with. I wanted to show that I belonged in that kind of environment and aspire to be as good as the people that I witnessed. One of the things that I loved about the environment of that unit was it was a close working environment where you could sit around the nurse's station and observe seasoned nurses managing very precarious patients and watch how they were able to interact with the providers, how they were able to manage medications and assess their patients moment to moment. And that really formed me to want to raise the level that I came in with.
Yeah, I think you've done a wonderful job of that. You and I have worked closely over the years. It's been a joy to see you develop into the role you're in currently. When you came into CVICU, you were a second degree nurse, which I was also, which means that we both had degrees in other fields and maybe worked in other fields before we decided to focus on nursing. What did you do before you decided you wanted to be a nurse?
Oh, I had so many things that I did. So prior to the nursing career, I thought I wanted to be a physician. So my whole educational path had been oriented towards that. So I've got a biology degree and studied pre-med. I applied and was accepted to the UK College of Medicine as a early decision. And once I hit medical school, it was a brick wall. I'd never encountered the level of dedication that was required in order to learn the gargantuan amount of material that you have to learn, the speed at which you have to learn it. And at that point, I was newly married. We had just bought a new house. I was still trying to manage a whole lot of things in my life. And the sacrifice that was required in order to be successful in that, I wasn't able to make it. And so it shattered me. I had a very difficult time. And so I ended up withdrawing from medical school. And this formed a lot of kind of my path forward because I struggled with depression at points in that during that time. I had thought about harming myself, and I was able to come to a place where I realized, wow, I'm in a really bad place. This is not healthy. I've got to change something. And so talking with my wife and working together through that, we realized, oh, I need to withdraw from medical school. And I went through a period of mourning where I just laid on the floor most days crying at the loss of what had become an error for me, a part of my identity. I had thought this is who I am. And I had to rethink that and relearn that. During that time, I worked at Kroger. I stocked the over-the-counter medicines. I also worked as a youth pastor, which was marvelous. So none of the experience that I had was wasted. So after about 6 months of being really sad and mourning the loss of that dream, my wife lovingly gave me a nudge one day, said, "Hey, it's been 6 months. What are you going to do?" And I was like, "Oh no, I woke up." And so I applied to nursing school and was accepted in the second degree program and then found my place in NCVICU. And it's been a marvelous journey ever since.
That's a very impactful story. I'm sure it helps you relate to your patients and where they find themselves.
It does, because when people experience the kind of loss and even the identity crisis of a severe illness, it can be shattering to people. One of the things that I love about nursing, which is part of how I approach patients, is to be able to come alongside them. I think nursing has a beautiful way of being with people in the midst of hard things that's unlike a lot of other parts of the healthcare field. And so that forms a lot of how I make my approach.
I feel like you've known for a long time that you were interested in psychiatry. This kind of piggybacks off your previous statement. Did you know before you became a nurse, or was it something that became clear to you as in your time as a nurse?
Well, that was the surprising thing about the journey, is that I had no idea that psychiatry would be where I landed. Even though I feel like the skill set was there and developed along the way, I had always imagined myself going into critical care medicine and becoming a critical care nurse practitioner and working and doing lines and being somebody who might be able to learn to cannulate for ECMO and do those kinds of things. But in the work that I do and was doing, I recognized that we had a huge opportunity to provide better mental health support to people who are going through these kinds of things, and saw that there was a huge need for it. And so that dream started with, oh, maybe we can do something new here that few other people are doing. And that inspired me to go back to school and see if we could meet that need that was there.
All right. During your time in CVICU as a nurse and both as an ECMO specialist, you've seen people at some of their most challenging points in life. How do you approach caring for patients and their loved ones during those moments?
So walking into somebody else's worst day or worst moments is a delicate thing. I always approach those situations with ears open and mouth shut most of the time. Questions like, how are you doing? And what's this feel like to you? Are often some of the first things that I'll approach people with. I liked also to build rapport with people. So one of the things that I always enjoyed doing was offering stuff like shaving faces and doing things that help people feel normal in the midst of an environment they otherwise had very little control over. I can only imagine how it feels sitting in a bed with a glass door with sometimes if the curtain's pulled or if it's not, you never know who's coming in or who's coming out. You can't say no or yes. So I'm trying to, in very much of what I do, I'm trying to provide as much autonomy as I can to help people feel safe. And that's, I think, something too that is really important in an approach to people in that environment, is to project safety so that people feel secure.
Tell me more about how these experiences have changed you and impact you.
I've changed too in the capacity to provide compassion to people. I think it's become even greater, just as my perspective of what's out there. On a daily basis, I'll talk to people who have experienced things that I can't even hardly fathom. And yet they still have strength to come in, and they still come in to talk and seek help. And I want to honor that kind of attitude by providing the best care that I can provide to people.
I feel, in the years that I've known you, I feel like you are one of the most calm and thoughtful and empathetic people I know. How do you do that?
So I think part of it is just kind of the bit of the person who I am, who, what motivates me. The makeup that I have is just, I'm a listener. And so I want people to feel safe whenever they're around me. Part of it is just, I think, who I was created to be. I think a lot of times when I'm talking to people, I always ask questions about faith, just so that where I'm coming from doesn't impose upon them. But from the way that I operate behind the scenes is always out of a lot of my faith and wanting to provide healing and wholeness that I've experienced to people, even if it doesn't come across in those terms, so that they feel safe. So when you ask about, you know, what makes me who I am, a lot of that is formed by what I see as the work of the Holy Spirit in me to make me the person that I'm intended to be.
What led you to want to be the first cardiology-based psychiatric MP at UK Healthcare?
Oh, I was so pumped about this. This is what kind of pushed me through the 5 years of part-time DNP work to get the credentials in order to be able to do this. I remember pitching the idea to Dr. Lacey Buckler, who was the chief of the APPs at that time for UK Healthcare, in the hallway, just saying, hey, I think this could be a great idea. And I saw that kind of the excitement in her eyes, and she's like, hey, I think that's something we might be able to do. And so off that thing went into the upper echelons of UK executive levels. And I'd continued to plug away at where I was to go back to school and develop the skill set. But with the need and to do something that seemed to me to be pretty inventive, that I, in literature reviews, I didn't find a whole lot of evidence out there of a significant number of programs that offer integrated psychiatry with medical services. It's a lot of healthcare is in silos where you have specialty services that will come in as consults. But to me, where mental health plays such a crucial role in people's ability to follow through with their healthcare and to feel good about it, that seemed to me to be a natural improvement in the way that we offered our care here. So my hope was that we would be able to pilot this and that it would work and that it would show benefits and that our patients would also see that.
Why cardiovascular patients, and specifically why those who have advanced heart failure and either need or have heart transplants or LVADs?
And so where that came from is just because that was what I saw. And it's also in the literature. If you were to look up the incidence of depression and anxiety in people who have heart failure, it's very high, as much as 40 to 50%, which is about three times what the general populace is. And if you looked also, which I think is an area for future growth, is that caregivers of those patients suffer as much or more than the patients do. And so I witnessed multiple people who had either had a heart transplant, had an LVAD implanted, and then in the recovery time began to struggle with the weight of all that had just happened to them. I've even witnessed a few who came to the point where they couldn't see continuing. And because the depression was so heavy on them, they came to a point where they wanted to withdraw care on themselves. And so I've witnessed that, where we lost people to a treatable condition because they didn't get the help that they needed. And so that put a fire under me to see that it needed to happen in this area, and it needs to happen in a lot of other areas. And so that's been an exciting opportunity, is putting this out there and then hearing from other service line areas that are also interested in trying to see how this could also be a template for other services to follow. So I'm looking forward to kind of leading those kind of initiatives in the future.
I know what a positive impact you have had on our team and our patients since you've started as the psychiatric MP. What do you think you've added to the team?
Well, what I hope is that I've added something new and something that fills a gap that was that's been there that we haven't had a great resource for. I think that one of the things that I bring is the expertise and the experience of 10 years walking alongside some of the sickest people, honestly, in the country. And then seeing recovery, being able to offer hope, being able to, you know, offer real world experience walking that has walked alongside people in similar situations that can speak to patients and family members who are in the same situation, but can't see it yet for themselves. People and patients who have been through things can speak to each other in a way that others cannot. So it affords me an opportunity as a provider, especially on the mental health front, to speak to people in a way that even other mental health providers aren't able to do.
Have you seen any changes in the care team, the people that you work with?
Yes. So initially, it's been very exciting to see people become much more open to pulling me into a room when I'm in the clinic and saying, hey, I've got this person who could really, really use you, which at first people are sometimes hesitant with new initiatives or new services or a new provider. It's like, hey, who's that strange guy? We've not seen him down here before. Does he even belong here? Who let the bald guy in? Like, he's scary. And then being able to walk in a room and see somebody who's having a difficult day and sit down and say, hey, we've got help for you. And seeing, you know, a little glimmer of hope in their eyes is profoundly gratifying, I think, both for the patient, but also for the other providers who are on the team to see that, oh, yeah, we actually have something to offer, and not feeling like, well, I don't know what to do with this person, and then sending them home hoping that they'll get the help that they need, but not being sure.
I think you make a great point about siloed care and how we in healthcare can do better at integrating that. We want our patients to feel better, which includes treating more than just their cardiovascular disease. I think that's been the biggest win for our patients and our team, is we want to treat the patient holistically. You help us do that.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to do. I love it.
Looking back, would you change anything about the path you've taken to be here today?
That's a fun question to ask, because, you know, along the way, especially during school, I might have said, oh, if I had known about CRNA back when I was in undergraduate, I might have aimed that route. But then I wouldn't be where I am right now. I wouldn't have the degree of satisfaction of seeing a brand new thing kind of being born and an opportunity to do something that's not really been done before here. And that is more exciting to me than what I could have done if I had gone another route. And none of the journey to get me here was a waste. All the skills and all the ups and downs of it have contributed to who I am and to the way that I do what I do. And without it, I would be totally different. And I like me.
Good. We all should. We should all find something so rewarding that makes us feel positive about what we do every day. You've told us a lot about your time working in the cardiovascular space. What has your experience been in working with the Department of Psychiatry? Has there been anyone who has mentored you as a new provider and a new role?
Yes. So it's been a great experience, because with all of my experience being in the cardiac ICU, I only have had tangential experience working with and seeing the Department of Psychiatry at work within UK healthcare. Of course, I've interacted with them during clinicals for school, but it's been a different experience now as a provider. Had the opportunity to orient Eastern State with Dr. Charles Shelton, who actually was a former heart transplant recipient of our program. And so it was an incredible opportunity to get to work with him, because he had even started laying some of the groundwork of things that I am currently doing now. He had provided a lot of support to our heart transplant recipient program. He even told me that on his date of discharge, when he had just received his transplant, he was providing education to the support groups about, I believe, a seasonal affective disorder on his date of discharge after the receipt of his transplant. So when I got to orient with him at Eastern State, he's been very excited and about this position. He's been very supportive along the way. I've been able to ask him questions about patient scenarios as well. And so he's somebody that I can go to. The APP supervisor for the Department of Psychiatry, Jeremy Chandler, has been incredibly supportive of this initiative, as well as Dr. Oros, who I get to speak with on a weekly basis. And she points me to great resources so that I can be a better provider. She's collaborating with me on some presentations for our GIL Affiliate Network conference coming up this fall. Looking forward to presenting an update about depression and anxiety in cardiac patients and the significant improvements that we can make by providing mental health support to this population of patients.
What's been the most rewarding moment for you so far?
There's been several really rewarding moments, particularly with patients who there's even been some that I got to take care of in the during their initial hospitalization with related to their cardiac event. And following that event, they had gone home and really struggled with depressive and anxiety symptoms to the point that they were largely kind of shut down in their life. And so in this new role, had the opportunity to provide them with medications and opportunities to talk and provide skill sets to manage those symptoms, and getting to see the fruit of that and see their life basically totally turn around. Seeing someone who was depressed and angry at everything to being somebody who comes into appointments joking and high-fiving and just radically different person from what I had seen when I had first met them, and truly kind of back a lot closer to the person that they were prior to all of this happening. It's incredibly gratifying to get to see someone come back to who they really are and not be defined by a treatable condition. And so I've gotten to see that with multiple people, and then to hear it too from family members and even other providers who will come up to me in the clinic and say, I've never seen this person this way. This is wonderful. And it's one of the things that keeps me coming back.
Wow. We do amazing work to fix our patients' bodies, but you help us also fix their mind and soul.
Thank you. Yeah, it is so fun to be a part of it, because we really do great work. I mean, we take care of people at death's door, and sometimes even tipping past the threshold, and we can reel them back and fix physiologic problems. And now we're investing resources to also bring them back so that they could be the person that they really want to be.
Yeah. They shouldn't be defined by their health experiences. Yep. We want them to be the people they've always been before that. So I know you're a planner and you dream big. So what's next?
Well, so one of the things that I would love to see is this role become multiplied within our enterprise. I think the need is great in a lot of areas. Pediatrics jumps to my mind, our Marquee Cancer Center, trauma services, even I can even foresee us, what I would love to see is within our GIL affiliate network, that we could expand the role that I have to create a larger team to provide mental health support to other area hospitals that are part of our network, because we could reach a tremendous amount of patients, but it's far more work than one person can do. And so what I would love to see in 5 to 10 years is being part of a leadership role of increasing the presence of psychiatric providers across our enterprise to provide more holistic support to people across the Commonwealth.
If you enjoyed today's episode, please give it a like and share with your team members. If you have any questions or comments, leave them in the comment sections below. Thanks for listening, and stay tuned for more episodes of The Loop Podcast.